Welcome back to Beta. I'm Doug Gordon. Musician Amy DiNio has accomplished many things over the course of her 32-year career. She's worked with people like avant-rock guitarist Fred Frith and also the pioneering electronic art music composer Pauline Oliveris. But one of the most remarkable things about DiNio is that she's done exactly whatever she's wanted to do throughout her career. That's no easy task. She's also been named one of rock's 10 smartest, strongest women. Her latest CD is called The Big Embrace. DiNio tells us what inspires her.
I'm influenced by everything that enters my ears, whether I like it or not. And that could be garbage trucks in Taiwan that play Fur Elise. It's pretty funny. And so people, when they hear that melody, they run out with their garbage. And it's electronic. It's hilarious. Pretty much everything. I mean, I love noise. I love just sounds you find in the environment. I do a lot of field recording. Mm-hmm. So, for example, on the Laborazione, it actually starts, there are these two very sad dogs down the street, and they sing in harmony. They actually wail. I don't think they're very happy.
Oh, dear.
I guess they're huskies. I thought they were hound dogs. They were doing their thing, and I thought, oh, I have to record them. It's just the most mournful sound. And then it turned out that they were singing in tune with my brach. So I said, oh, I have to use it in the song. That's great.
So the opening song on The Big Embrace is called Labbracione. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Labbracione, that's perfect.
Yeah, no, yours is perfect. You have the energy and the vibrato and everything because you have the lovely four-octave range voice. So that's got to be an Italian word.
It is. It means the big embrace of all things.
Ah, so it would be fair to consider this the title track, would it not?
Yeah, it is. And the reason why I called it that is because I'm playing a Croatian mandolin-type instrument called the brač. And so I thought, well, gee, what rhymes with brač? I can't... Abbraccio. So, and I don't know, abbraccione, because it's actually a little tiny instrument. So I thought, ironically, okay, I'll just call it the big embrace.
So can you tell me a bit about this song?
Well, I had been lent this instrument because I'm working on an opera with some really amazing people, including Gino Jevđević from Culture Shock, who's originally from Sarajevo, Bosnia, Herzegovina. We did an opera on Nikola Tesla. We were presenting the first act last June, and so I'd been lent this 100-year-old little tiny mandolin thing called brač. And it just told me one day, it's like, you need to record me. You need to create something with me. And so I just came up with this really easy riff, and then I just kept adding layers and layers, and I thought, well, maybe I should add some voice, so I did.
There are four songs on the new album that start with RX, which is, of course, the Latin symbol for prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Prescription for the wife and prescription for a scrambled egg and peanut butter are two of them. And my personal favorite is prescription for the afterlife. Can you mm-hmm. tell me a bit about that one?
Sure. I wrote that song thinking about, and also prescription for the wife. The wife is actually a real person in my life who's my best friend for about 30 years. And she went through breast cancer and had a really long run of battling it for about 5 years, and it was really difficult for her. I wrote all those recipes in one day because I thought, what am I going to do today? I know, and I was staring at the cookbooks in the kitchen. I said, oh, I'm going to write a bunch of recipes. That's what I'll do.
Use your imagination. Here echoes from your dreams. All the sounds that I
in an afterlife?
I think that when we cease suffering in our current mortal coils, that we're going to be immersed in the most grand sound vibration possible. That's going to be, you know, basically, who knows what that's going to be. So I can't really imagine a physical place or something like that.
All the sounds that I've heard will boil down to one big hum.
One of your most famous albums, of course, is Tongues, which came out in 1993. And this album features you singing in various languages, English, French, Italian, Czech, Russian, Greek, and your own invented language, which I'd like to refer to as Denioese, but I don't know. You probably have a better name for it.
No, that's it. Vocalalia.
Okay, Vocalalia is nice. So why did you decide to sing in all these different languages?
I discovered that I love language around that time. I think it started with inviting some Russian musicians, jazz musicians, to come to Seattle to perform at the Goodwill Games in 1990. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I better learn some Russian.
Yeah.
You know, and so I got the Berlitz book of Russian. And then I thought the best way to learn language is through song. So I thought, I'll just write a song in Russian. So I did, and the song's called Da. And the subtitle is Где дамская парикмахерская. I don't say it very often, so that came out. Anyway, and I chose phrases out of this phrase book that sort of made sense as lyrics. So the translation is, I cannot find my wife. Please show me on the map. When will she be back? Give me a schedule. So I thought, this is really fun. And because I was traveling quite a lot in Europe, my band, the Tone Dogs, were headed over to Czech Republic for the first time, 1 year exactly to the day after the Velvet Revolution. And I thought, quick, I have 6 weeks. I should write a song in Czech. So I got a Czech book and wrote, and wrote a song in Czech that called Checkered Pajamas. And people were just weeping when we played it. You're actually attempting to speak our language. That's amazing.
What is that song about?
Again, it's from a phrase book, so it's like, good morning, please speak slowly, we are strangers here, lighter, shorter, smaller, darker. The fun part was that the chorus is a string of all infinitives, all verbs. Piti plakati sniti, like to drink, to cry, to dream, to learn, to love, to fly.
Yeah.
So I just thought, that's great. Piti plakati sniti, you know what I'm saying?
I think I read that it's also about asking the waiter to put more appetizers in the train station baggage room. Is that correct?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. It's cool because, for one thing, taking lyrics using a phrase book, it reminds me of that famous Monty Python sketch where John Cleese is playing this guy and he's reading out of a book and he's saying, my hovercraft is full of eels and things like that.
My hovercraft is full of eels.
Also, these outlandish storylines you have, they're very Kafka-esque,
well,
which is especially appropriate for the Czech song.
Indeed.
So you sing these songs in different languages using phrase books. Then you take things to the next level by inventing your own language.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you want to do that?
Well, I think that I'm trying to think of who would have influenced me. I just always loved the concept of improvising with my voice, and so it came naturally, having been exposed to people like Ella Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm. What about people like, you know, over the years there have been several artists who have created their own fictional languages, which they used in their music. People like Lambert Hendrickson Ross,
right.
Joan LaBarbara, David Moss, Theodore Monk, and Slim Gaylard. Have any of these people influenced you?
Yes. David Moss is a good friend of mine. Also, Meredith Monk. I loved what she did with the extending the potential of the human voice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think I was just exposed to most of the people that you mentioned, and I just found that almost more interesting and certainly less literal than working with language. And, you know, music anyway, it crosses all borders, and it's got such a great communicative background and foreground and trajectory that I feel like, in a way, you can make more sense without words that'll reach more people.
Yeah, and isn't it also maybe part of the appeal, it just occurred to me while you were talking, that maybe also the other thing is that it gets the listener more involved because it kind of serves as, for lack of a better term, an audio Rorschach blot that they can bring their own meaning and interpretation to it?
That's really true. I have a funny example of that. I have an old song of mine I wrote in 1984 that it's called When George Bush Was Head of the CIA. It was all done on four-track, and so I thought, well, I'll go into the bathroom because the acoustics are a little better. And I flipped the tape over, and I sang this melody, and then when I flipped it over so it was running forward, it was do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And the way I sing it, when I would sing it live, sort of like that, however the tones would come out most easily, people would come up to me after having heard that song and saying, that song about your father was really intense. So all these different people had really different interpretations of what I was just kind of going la 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 dee 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 doo doo, you know. But people instantly assumed it meant something and found meaning in it, which I think is great.
Do you have a favorite song from Tongues, or one that features your own invented language?
Well, I don't have the album in front of me, so I can't remember what it's called. I love all the little excerpts.
Are you familiar with the idea of speaking in tongues, which is part of the Pentecostalism faith, the idea that a believer may vocalize these fluent, unintelligible languages?
Absolutely, yeah.
Speaking in tongues, has that influenced your fictional language at all in any way?
I'm sure that it has, because really, when I improvise, I'm the happiest. When I shut up logical part of brain, when I you know, turn off the lights over there and just let go, I find that I'm really happy. And that kind of reminds me, I just saw this really great, interesting film, anyway, called The Act of God, and it's a film about people hit by lightning, mm-hmm. and how it affects their brains and how they see fate and everything. And Fred Frith does a soundtrack, and he's actually part of the movie, too, in which he goes into this laboratory in London, and they affix some kind of helmet to his head with bunches of sensors to measure his brain waves, and they say, okay, go ahead and play a song, you know. And he mumbles, well, I don't really know any songs. I'm an improviser. I'll try something. Certain parts of his brain light up when he does that. He figures out something that he kind of knows. And then they say, okay, now go ahead and improvise. And his entire brain lights up.
Hmm.
It's very different. So when I'm improvising vocally, that's what's happening. That is going into the zone, and I'm sure that happens similarly with athletes or whoever has that potential to stop rational thinking and simply act from intuition.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One of your many side projects is this group called the Tipton Sax Quartet, formerly known as the Billy Tipton Memorial Quartet. You're a founding member of this group. Who was Billy Tipton?
Billy Tipton was born Dorothy Lucille Tipton, and at a certain point began to play saxophone, and at a certain point went to an audition, and they said, you play well, but you don't get the job. And she really wanted to play in that band and decided to come again a month later, having cut her hair and dressing up as a man and taking her brother's name, Billy. And so she came back to the audition for this same group a month later.
Hi, I'm Billy. I'm Dorothy's brother.
And she got the job. So from that moment on, she said, okay, I'm going to cross-dress and live as a man, and was an accomplished musician, piano player and saxophone player, and eventually became a booking agent based in Spokane. I've met a bunch of musicians who he booked. When I found out that story, I had already been playing, you know, we'd started the sax quartet of all women a year before, and we had a very regrettable name. It was Flemme Fatale. And so when we discovered the story of Billy Tipton, we thought, here's someone who's following their path and has the courage to follow their path and not toe the line of the expectations of society, but rather do what they feel they're destined to do. And so that's why we decided to name our group the Billy Tipton Memorial Saxophone Quartet, in honor of someone who took a lot of risks, and it was not easy. It's not an easy life that Billy had.
Don't you have a member in your group that in the Tipton Sax Quartet? Isn't there a member from Wisconsin?
Yes. One of the best sax players in Wisconsin / the U.S. / probably the world, whose name is Sue Orfield. And she lives in Eau Claire. And she's my hero. She's just a gem of a person, and it was one of the most accomplished and inventive and beautiful and soulful sax players I've ever heard. So I'm honored to play with her because she's always teaching me something. I love it.
That's the inimitable, innovative Amy Denial. To find out more about Amy and to hear more of her music, visit wpr.org/beta.